Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head back out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com, where we are joined by Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio here on this Football Friday. Mike, thank you for the time as always. Appreciate it.
Gentlemen, how are you today?
We are good, Mike. And boy, the Miami Dolphins, not so much. So they have turned into the national media punching bag over the last few weeks.
All because of Asante Samuels.
Mike, it's gotten ugly down here, man.
Well, you know, I think I said to Joe at some point over the past couple of weeks, maybe more than once, when you look at all the things they've been dealing with this late in the offseason, who has to contend with issues like that? What other team is trading key players in late June? These are all things, as I've said repeatedly, that should have been resolved early in the offseason. You get real replacements for Jonnu Smith, not a trade for a guy who hasn't played in a year. You draft a tight end, you sign a tight end, you trade for a tight end early in free agency. You get Jalen Ramsey traded so you can plot your path forward. You get guys in the building for the offseason program. You don't have guys not in the building for the offseason program and have that dark cloud over the team. It's just not a normal way of doing business, as evidenced by the fact that no other team had this kind of stuff hanging over them in late June.
Cincinnati.
It was just the Dolphins.
Cincinnati does. I mean, you know, this is the time for business, and players are usually trying to shake down teams for new contracts. So
trying to keep their guys, Omar. Miami knew these guys weren't going to be there. If you know those guys are going to be there, get them the hell out of the building in March, not in late June.
Yeah, but I don't think that Minkah Fitzpatrick was available in March. I think they were patient, and they got somebody who by far I did not expect to be the return for Jalen Ramsey. I really think Jonnu Smith is a fifth round pick, so I think it's a Jalen Ramsey for Minkah Fitzpatrick. You trade my problem for your problem, and we're all good. So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. But Asante's claims, and I will say this. There isn't anything that he said in his statement that is not true, has some validity, has some credence to it. But explain to me, how does it take off nationally, Mike?
Well, because it's a guy who plays at a high level in the NFL. His son was a high round draft pick. Wasn't he a first rounder? He's looking for a job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And
Miami's interested.
You know, And off it goes. And when something like that lands in July, hey, it's a lot more likely it's going to get noticed because there's not a whole lot else going on. And, you know, the reality is there's always something going on in the NFL. It's just between the middle of June to the latter part of July, we notice things that we otherwise wouldn't notice when there's actual football going on. There's always something. And that was a perfect time for Samuel to say what he said. And you know, there is just a weird vibe nationally as it relates to the Dolphins. Where are they? The window was opening a couple of years ago. It feels like the window has closed and they don't realize it, and they're going to fly right into it this year. That's the vibe that I've just kind of attached to them based upon monitoring the Dolphins along with the other 31 teams, that they're not a true contender. They still seem to believe they are, and they may find out in a very harsh and stark way this season how far they have to go to compete with the best teams in the AFC. I mean, how we spend so much time talking about the Steelers with Aaron Rodgers. At the end of the day, are they going to be able to compete with the best teams in the AFC? I don't think so.
Depends on where Aaron Rodgers is. If you're talking about the Aaron Rodgers who played the Miami Dolphins, I'd say yes. If you're talking about the Aaron Rodgers who played everybody else, I'd say no.
Even that Aaron Rodgers, when you look at the Chiefs and the Ravens and the Bills and the Bengals, and the Texans are right there on the cusp. They've made it to the Final Four in the conference two straight years. There are some powerhouse teams in the AFC. And I know that when everyone's 0-0, and the NFL loves this, we can talk ourselves into well, you know, you win this game, you win that game, you get this happens and that, we get lucky. Hey, we may be able to do something. They love that. They want every fan of every team to think that. And we learn year after year, even though we get burned, we learn when you reset to 0-0 how to come up with ways to make ourselves think this could be the year.
Yep.
Because it does happen. Lightning does strike. And I'm not saying it's impossible, but, you know, there's a handful of contenders in each conference. And in the AFC, I don't think anybody would objectively say the Dolphins are a contender. They're going to have to play their way into that role.
Absolutely. Mike, I wanted to get into this NFLPA controversy, which I see you're stirring it up. And I love that you do, because you're probably one of the few watchdogs for the NFL and the NFLPA, as am I. I wasn't a big, huge fan of Damaris Smith, and neither was he a fan of me. But this Lloyd Howell situation, and for those who don't understand, please explain what's going on, and does this possibly connect to the cover up of collusion? Because how does the NFLPA catch the NFL red handed in collusion and basically try to cover it up? Explain that to me.
Well, and I need to work backward, because I think what came out yesterday was the most significant revelation as it relates to Lloyd Howell, who was hired 2 years ago, guys, under a cloud of extreme secrecy, no transparency. We didn't even know who the other candidates were. It's just, boom, all of a sudden, here's a new executive director. Oh, and he has no union experience whatsoever. Oh, and he comes from a corporate background. And I remember joking, is this guy a Manchurian candidate? And now we find out that the guy who is responsible for representing zealously and aggressively against a band of oligarchs on a daily basis the interests of the men who put their lives on the line literally every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, and whenever else they play a game, the guy who should be solely focused on helping them get the best possible terms and conditions of employment, this guy's got a side hustle with a private equity fund that has been approved to purchase minority stakes in NFL teams. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And now, and I just posted something that, you know, I'll probably get a nasty email from people with the New York Times / Athletic, but, you know, the unnamed union sources are defending this. How can, you know, how have we gotten to this point where things that used to be, and it almost sounds quaint to say we used to care about conflicts of interest, but we did. Now we don't. And yep. I don't get it. Because if I'm an NFL player, if I'm in any position of influence with the union, I'm like, whoa, mm-hmm. wait a minute. First of all, why do you need a second job? What? Should we have a bake sale for you too? Is $3.6 million a year not enough that you're making from the NFLPA? And you're working for a company that's got ties to the NFL? Here's how that works, because I deal with this from time to time. You know, there are lines that if you cross them as it relates to the NFL, they're going to make their displeasure known. And now that he's got this double life where he's working for this group with ties to the NFL, if he goes too far in his representation of the players and pisses off the NFL, they back channel to the Carlyle Group, this private equity fund, and now he's got a problem. So he's on a tightrope. He shouldn't be on the tightrope. He shouldn't even have this job representing the players.
He shouldn't have this job. And here's my thing with the NFLPA. When did we get to the point lawyers should be advising a player who leads this union group? Not a lawyer is the leader of this union group. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean,
when Gene Upshaw passed in 2008 after a short fight with pancreatic cancer, and he had been in charge of that union forever. He had the same kind of job security that Roger Goodell enjoys as commissioner of the league. He did a good job, and he was able to maintain his hands on the wheel for a very long time. And, you know, it was working. And it's hard to find somebody who's got all the requisite skills, because here's what you're ultimately doing. You are facing down 32 of the richest and most powerful people in the world, and they are ruthless. And here's the other problem, guys. When you're the head of the NFLPA, you have one hand tied behind your back, because if it ever comes down to the nuclear option of a work stoppage, you got one side that will shrug at the prospect of a year without football. They don't need the money. They're going to own the team their whole life. Well, we can do without a year if it gets us what we want. For the players, They don't want to miss a game. They don't want to miss a check. Look at all the turmoil financially that was caused for guys because there was a lockout in the offseason. They didn't even miss any game checks. But because there weren't signings and signing bonuses and cash flow that way, you had guys who did all sorts of bad loans and had financial issues. Like, it's when you're dealing with that kind of imbalance where management will lock out the players for a year and the players won't miss a single game check, good luck getting the best possible deal you can for the players. And I talked to an agent yesterday who said history is going to remember DeMaurice Smith well, because we're starting to understand what the head of that union has to deal with. And it's a bunch of apathy. And the problem is the league had been weaponizing the players' apathy against them for years. Now it looks like union leadership is weaponizing the apathy of the players against them.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk here with us. Mike, I'll leave you on this one. We were talking earlier, and we brought your name up because I know you have thoughts on the NFL draft and, you know, guys perhaps being able to, you know, choose or dictate where they end up. And I'm just curious if you had a chance to see what happened with the NBA draft and Ace Bailey. He had a couple of teams that he was like, I won't go there. I won't play for you guys. And then Danny Ainge said, you know, you're going to come play here. Like, I don't care what you think. I'm just curious if you saw that, if you had any thoughts on that, because I know you.
I wrote about it. The title of the article was "The NFL Needs an Ace Bailey." I've been saying for years. Yeah, we're not all of us, because it didn't take with me, and I think others share my view, but not many. This idea that being drafted by an NFL team is some sort of an honor and a privilege. The honor and the privilege is the team having the ability to tell a top talent, "You are coming to work for us, even if you don't want to." That's the honor and the privilege. It's been twisted around, and they've got, you know, it's like this weird Harry Potter sorting hat ritual, and all the fans are like, "You must submit to the sorting hat." Well, okay, tell that to anyone who's been drafted in the upper rounds to go play quarterback for the Jets. Ask them how that's gone for them over the past decade. So I love it when a player exercises anything that reflects pushing back against the system. I love it. And right now we've got this Shamar Stewart thing in Cincinnati that's still percolating. And the end result, I don't think it's going to happen. And I feel bad for him if it does, but he could sit out the whole year and re-enter the draft. And as we get more and more guys who come to the NFL with money in the bank that they never had before, thanks to the NIL explosion, I'm hoping we get to one of these points where there's a high-end quarterback, and it may be Arch Manning who does it. I don't know, because his uncle Eli did it 21 yep. years ago. It may be one of these guys may say, "Hey, if you draft me, I'll sit out all year and I'll live off my NIL money, and I'll see you next year."
Well, that would be crazy. Mike, thank you for the time. As always, appreciate it. Joe will be back next week. We appreciate you coming on with us here.
Thanks, guys. Great talking to you.
All right. Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio here with us on this football.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.